But there is nothing that has ever happened in Eshet Torah from the very beginning of Eshet Torah that has not involved this man that you're about to hear from, who's just going to do a very brief introduction. But most people don't hear the name Baruch Rabinowitz, but in fact, he is the engine that runs everything as the executive director of Eish International. It is a great kavod that he spent Shabbos with us, with his family, and we welcome and are honored the presence of Baruch Rabinowitz. You may stand. Yes.
I just said, say my name, Yaakov.
I lied.
So I'm going to introduce Dr. Stuart Heitner. Just a few words before. It's going to be brief. Talk a long time about it. A few years ago, the Rosh Yeshiva Tzatzal and Yaakov, you were there, Eric Coopersmith, and the Rosh Yeshiva, we visited Stuart and Andrea Heitner, and we asked them to make a major gift to wake up the sleeping giant, which later got changed to Project Inspire. And we had a whole plan. And I remember the Rosh Yeshiva saying, you know, this was my dream, this is what I've been saying for a long time. But the time is ripe. And this is not a matter of just reaching out, being nice. This is a matter of life or death. This is really a matter of life or death. I mean, the signs are in the air. And Andrea Stuart said, let me think about it. They thought about it for a short time, and they basically said, we're in. We would not be sitting here today if it wasn't for them. So they're partners. They're one of they're partners to the highest degree. When I'm involved in AISH and developing a board and a fundraising, I say there's three W's we're looking for: wealth, wisdom, and work. And Stuart and Andrew do three of those. More serious than that, but it's a lesson for all of us to learn that we all have to do this. Wealth is give your money and get other people to give money. Obviously, if we had a lot more money for Project Inspire, we can do a lot more. It's really a matter of saving Jewish lives. Two is work. Everybody can do something. You know, I was with Yossi Friedman, one of the directors, and he was out there directing people. He said, I'm all alone. I have nobody to help me. There's so many people who can just help with this convention, arrange a Shabbaton, bake, cook, speak to the Rebbeim. There's so much to do, and that's part of it, work. And wisdom, each, you know, we're the Jewish people. A member of Nalk, you know, we have so much wisdom. Each person is a genius. And you can offer so much, and there's breakthrough ideas. And I say that each one of us here, if we really took it seriously and added those things, could make a tremendous difference. So I'd say that Stuart and Andrew, you've done all those three things, which we appreciate. Obviously, the payers are here. There's a lot that needs to be done. And so, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Dr. Stuart Heitner.
Wow. You know, when I was... When I'm looking over all of Shabbos at the close to 800 people that are here, and I was thinking, you know, what would, if the Rosh Yeshiva was here with us to see this, what would he say? And of course, as Rabbi Solomon said, he is with us, and we can feel that. In fact, I believe he's smiling down on us right now, on these 800 people who are here, who had a magical Shabbos of Achdus and focus on how we can change Klal Yisrael. But I just want to tell you that I don't think that he's smiling for the reason that you think he's smiling. I'll explain. After the Rosh Yeshiva was Nifter, There was a few articles that went out from Mishpacha magazine, from Hamodia, some great articles. They spoke about the Rosh Hashiva's life, his accomplishments, what Eshet Torah has done, how it's reached hundreds of thousands of people over the years. It's affected all the Jewish people. And it went on and on about his accomplishments. But it would actually, these articles left out one thing. It left out that this actually wasn't his real intention in the first place. It wasn't what he originally wanted to do. He reasoned this way. He wanted to create a movement to change the Jewish people. You need an army to create a movement. So he looked around, he said, listen, as good as the Kiruv workers are out there, look at the numbers. There's millions of Jews out there, and no matter how good a job they do, how can we reach all of them? It's not feasible that just the Kiruv workers can reach all of them. The only way to do it is to create a movement of people. That's the only feasible plan in order to achieve success. So what did he do? He went to the Frum community, of course. He went to Lakewood, he went to Brooklyn, he went to all the Frum communities, and he spoke, and he tried to enlist his army. It didn't really go so quickly. And so what happened is, he said, well, if I can't raise an army from the Frum community, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to make Balei Tshuva. If I can make Balei Tshuva, and they go through the process, and they know that I can be successful, that it can be done, it can be successful, they'll become my manpower that will create this movement. That's how he started he started organizations and different yeshivas that failed. He failed 5 times until he started Eshet Torah. I wouldn't say he failed, but he wasn't successful in his goal. And he started Eshet Torah, and Eshet Torah became a success. Do you realize what I'm saying here? That Eshet Torah was actually plan B. It was not his first plan. His first plan was everybody in this room. Everyone, and I said this to a group of partners a couple months ago in New York, we are all plan A. We are what the Rosh Hashiva wanted to achieve. We have to understand that. So it's very interesting. So now that we know, we said after this week, and we have an idea of what we're trying to accomplish, how do we do it? So it reminds me, one of the key components that I feel was taught to me again by the Rosh Hashiva. You know, going into the Rosh Hashiva to see him in his office was often somewhat of a surrealistic experience. It wasn't the type of Rebbe that you would sort of go and ask him a shaila, like, what do you do when the milchik spoon is in the fleishik pot? That wasn't Rav Noach. You'd go in there, you'd ask him, how do I change the world? That was the type of shaila you would ask Rav Noach. So I thought I would give it a try one time. So I go in there, I say, Rosh Hashiva, how am I going to change the world? So he said to me, Tikkun Chasos. What you're going to do is you're going to sit down. You should think about the pain that the world's undergoing right now. That's what you should do. I said, Rosh Hashiva, I'm going to change the world? By thinking of what the pain of the world is going through? He said, yes. He says, I want you to do it. Feel the pain that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has that his children are so far away from him. We also learn this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Lev, he mentioned this pasuk last night. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes out and he said, Vayar b'sivlo sam, and he saw their burdens. And Rashi says on this, it says, Nasan Eina Velibo Lemetzar Alei. He focused his his eyes and his heart to feel their pain. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader in our history, the key component to him being a leader was that he felt the pain of the Jewish people. That's what made him a great leader. So we have to realize that to the extent that we feel the pain of the Jewish people, the fact that they're away from Torah, they have absolutely no idea what Torah is. It's not that they're against it, they just don't know. To the extent that we feel that pain, that's the extent that we're going to act. And we know that in our lives. Chas v'shalom, one of our children are very ill, and we know nothing about it. All of a sudden we could become a bucky in what we're in that ailment. We'll call every doctor, we'll call every person we know, have to know, we'll make any connection that we have to know. We become the expert. When you feel the pain, you're going to act. And I think from coming out from this weekend, that should be our goal, that we should feel, when we go back to our homes, and we should look out there, and we should feel the pain of the Jewish people right now, the pain of Kadosh Baruch Hu, of his children. But that's a nice thing, but again, what do you do? Now, okay, I feel the pain, I understand what my job is, I feel the pain, but what am I supposed to do? So, it's important also to understand there's a very important lesson as far as how to be effective. And this was taught to me by a certain story that happened to me. Actually, it was a Shabbos, also a Shabbaton that happened. It was in Toronto, and it was called Shabbos H100. The idea was that what we're going to do is we're going to try and get 100 guests, 100 unaffiliated Jews, and we're going to farm them out to everybody's place, different places for Shabbos, for Friday night dinner, and then they're going to go back to an Onik Shabbos at the shul. It's at the Village Shul, the Eish HaTorah Shul in Toronto. So I was called, my wife and I, we were called, would you like some guests? But sure, no problem. How about like 5 guys? We take 5 guys? Not a problem. So here comes the Shabbos. I go, I daven, I come back, and we're waiting for our guests, and I get a knock on the door. I open the door, and at the door, these 5 guys. Now these are the most motley crew-looking crew that you ever see here. They were 5 guys, they were all wearing jeans, Shabbos. They all had, like, torn at the knees, little rips at the knees, stylishly placed. So one of them was tie-dye shirts. And you can imagine they all just kind of walking right in. they seemed nice enough, actually. One of them actually gave my wife a bottle of wine. I looked at it was Treif. So we said, and my wife, we have lots of Kiruv guests during the year. But even then, my wife and I, I remember this, we looked at each other, and it was that look like, okay, where's this one going? We had no idea. So we sat everybody down. We had a nice Shabbos meal. So, nice guys. Nice conversations, interesting conversations. And had a good time. We finished the meal. Now, with the times they had to go out, they had to get to the shul. My job was to make sure that they get to this shul. So I was told, they know where to go. Just, make sure that, that if they need any directions and they go the right way and everything. So they're going out the door and I say, do you guys know where you're going? And he goes, not really. So I say, the Village Shul, you know where the Village Shul is? None of them knew. So the Village Shul is 20, 25 minutes away actually from our home. And I was told, that's my job. I got to get into the, I couldn't drop the ball now. So put my jacket on, and I walked them to the Village Shul. These 5 guys were walking, and 20, 25 minute walk, get to the Village Shul, talk to them for about a few minutes, just a few minutes, I stay there, nice Onik Shabbos going on, I say good Shabbos, nice to meet you, I'll see you later. I walk home. And that was it. I got home, I didn't see them again. I actually didn't see them ever. After that, it was a long time. I think it's about a year and a half later, actually. I was at the village shul again. I got this tap on my shoulder, turned around, and this guy says, "Do you remember me?" I go, "No." I go, "Do you remember? Oh yeah, I was at your place about a year, I think it was a long time ago, over a year ago, at your place for Shabbos." And he was in a suit, a tie. I go, "Oh yeah, you look familiar, I remember you, yeah, yeah." He goes, "I want you to know something, that I remember that Shabbos at your place. That was my first ever Shabbos experience. I also want you to know one more thing. Next week I have a plane ticket. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year in yeshiva. I want to thank you." It's funny that you're clapping because I actually didn't do anything. What did we do? Right? I looked at my wife and go, "What did we do?" I was talking with her about it. What did we do? We had a nice Shabbos meal and I said goodbye to them. You know what? It taught me a huge lesson that we try, we make our effort. You have to make your effort. In the end, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who makes them from. We don't have to feel when we're going out, when you leave this convention and you go out, don't think that you have to be making people from. You just have to make your effort. Your hishtalus, you make your hishtalus. That's all you have to do. You have to be there. I'm sure along the way there were many, many different people who affected this young man. They happened to come to our place for the first Shabbos. You have to worry about being a rung in their ladder. That's it. Just one rung in their ladder. Of course, you have a relationship with people, you'll have hashpah on people, but you don't have to worry about that. All you have to make the hishtalus, and you have to just, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu does the work in the end. It's amazing. What we have to do, we have to go out there, make our effort, we have to just care about Jews. You care about Jews, and then go back and get other people to care about Jews, and get them to get other people to care about Jews. And that's all we have to do. And then in the end, the Kadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. So, the Rosh Yeshiva, he's smiling down on us right now. He's smiling. The reason that he's smiling is because he sees there's 800 people at this Shabbaton who finally get it. He's smiling because his plan A is working. It's actually working. And it was the right plan all along. That's why he's smiling. All that we have to do now is to prove it. Thank you.